News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, if you're a podcaster, by the way, we had a lot of folks apparently that are doing podcasting, and I do that too, by the way. You can download a segment of this show. Like, say for instance, you heard a monologue, or you heard Copper's Corner the other day, or maybe this afternoon you hear the Grand Council or some other topic on it, and you just want to catch it again, or you want to send it to a friend, or you want to, just maybe miss the show on one day and catch up the next day, we got those available to you. So the podcast is up all the time on the website, rightsideradio.org. You can go there, and we've got it set up. So remember, Copper does the downloads, and Birdman does the uploads. I like to say Copper works in-house, and Birdman works in the outhouse. But nonetheless, he gets those things spec'd out and ready, and they are up on every format of podcasting you use. So if you're a Apple iTunes or a Amazon or a Google or a Podbean or whatever the case may be, they're there. And we've had something where we're right now, we're pushing 22,000 downloads on segments of the show. So that's very cool. And we appreciate this audience. Listen, I'm in the Triple Dipper right now. Number one of the Triple Dipper is DC Watch. A lot of stuff happened, and we're going to unpack more of it with Cameron Smith at the top of the hour. But I'll just tell you this. Our own Senator Tyree Tuberville, who I have been impressed with, by the way. You know, when Senator Tuberville first ran, I thought, okay, football coach. Now, here's some things on this. I am of the firm belief that a top-line coach like a Tuberville, like a Nick Saban, like somebody like that, they typically not only think strategically, they've learned how to pattern their game plan to use the current resources they have available to them to reach the next level. They also are able to make snap decisions on the sidelines to adjust to the other side or the opposition's game plan. That's the kind of thinking that, a coach is not just somebody who inspires you in the locker room. A coach is someone who has those thought patterns, in my opinion, and the ability to motivate people to engage those plans. All right, all that to say, that's cool, but I still didn't know for a fact if Tommy Tuberville was going to wind up being the kind of senator that we hoped he would be as a conservative. So far, I am not disappointed. Everything that I could have asked for, it appears, is coming out of the Tuberville camp. Here's an article on townhall.com. Townhall.com reporting that our very own Tommy Tuberville slammed the Democrats yesterday regarding their voting reform bills. This is part of the D.C. Watch from yesterday. So, storyline dated yesterday afternoon, U.S. Senate appeared poised at that moment to take up legislation, which they did. I'll get to that in a minute. And during his weekly press call, Tuberville suggested the Democrats' efforts to pass their so-called voting rights legislation was nothing but a Trojan horse, an attempt to federalize elections process. And I agree. That's exactly what it was, Coach. That's exactly what it was. A story from Town Hall says Alabama's junior senator went on to declare that no American who sought to legally participate in the electoral process in 2020 had been denied their constitutional right to vote. Tuberville cited the fact that more Americans participated in the 2020 election than any election prior. Was it a weird election? Yes, but you cannot say that the people did not have access to the polls. And I agree with that. And I love when I see that for conservative reasons, our Alabama delegation is making national headlines. That's all good. So, Senator, you might want to know, as we move into D.C. Watch today, Senator Tuberville was a headliner on a national periodical called townhall.com. So, interesting thing is, when I was on Town Hall seeing that particular article, I found another one. Very short article. Dated yesterday also. So, here's one of the reasons why you know that Biden does not have his people. He does not have his people. And when I say his people, I'm talking of the Democrats. Biden is supposed to be the top of the ticket. Just like Kay Ivey is supposed to be the top of the Republican ticket within state politics, Biden is supposed to be the top of the ticket for Democrats, period. Like basically, if you're running for governor and you're a Democrat, you should want Joe Biden to come to your state. Which we're finding out is probably not true. When he spoke in Atlanta last week, and Stacey Abrams didn't even bother showing up, even though that's her hometown. He was speaking on her pet issue, and she's running for governor. They had a scheduling conflict. I know you can't see the finger quotes that I'm doing right now because it's radio, but she had a scheduling conflict. But nonetheless, one of the reasons why I know he doesn't have his people is because he could never do anything except insult Senators Manchin and Sinema for daring to have an opposing position. I don't know if you remember this or not, but a couple weeks ago, it was the week before last, I believe, I said on the show I thought it was interesting that President Biden went across the street. I say across the street. He went down the way, across the street, over the hill, through the woods, anyway, to the Capitol to meet with the Democrat caucus, trying to convince them to pass his agenda. Right before he got there, Senator Sinema went to the floor of the Senate to express her displeasure with trying to be cajoled into voting in a way she didn't want to. Well, what does that say? That's like saying, hey, in your face, come over here if you want to, but I'm going to make a public stand right now and tell the world how I feel. She went on the record. Well, Joe Manchin did the same thing yesterday. So yesterday, while Biden is initiating his first press conference in 2022, his only second time in his first year, Joe Manchin took to the Senate floor. In the middle of the press conference, Joe Manchin took to the Senate floor and did exactly what Kyrsten Sinema had done previously. While Biden was giving his first press conference in 78 days, Democrat Senator Joe Manchin took to the Senate floor to defend the filibuster and to repeatedly express that he was not going to vote for that ending of the filibuster. And he also repeatedly expressed concerns over runaway inflation, which is why he refuses to support the Build Back Better plan, which also died a couple weeks ago. That's awesome. That is just nothing but good. But it's also, by the way, folks, if you're watching D.C., if you're trying to think inside the bubble, I would say that is more than just a swipe. That's a clear indication, Mr. President, you do not have your act together. You do not have the team on your side. This is not going your way. Just stop. But, you know, what'd they do? Schumer went forward last night. This was just interesting. So here's Joe Manchin saying, ain't going to do it. Not only that, he had Sinema saying, ain't going to do it. And yet, for whatever reason, Chuck Schumer felt like it was the right thing to do yesterday, on the same day that President Biden was giving his major press conference, to push the issue to the floor of trying to kill the filibuster and pass those awful voting rights, so-called voting rights, those voting Trojan horse bills. That's crazy. I know for a fact that Schumer was not unaware of the vote count. I know for a fact that Schumer totally understands the rules of the Senate. I know for a fact that Schumer recognized that this was going to go down in flames. There is no way in the world Schumer thought that there was a chance he could win. Why'd he do it? I'm going to speculate, and I may ask Cameron Smith this too if I think about it, but I'm going to speculate right now that Schumer's intent was to clear the air and to get this thing out of the way because he's having a difficult time reasoning with the Biden administration. Now, Schumer's being a good trooper. And by the way, do not think I'm defending Schumer. Schumer is a good trooper. He's going out to the podium. He's trying not to kill the Biden administration because technically his people are tied to that same ticket. You know what I'm saying? But think about it. If you've got a president down the street who is blindly determined to move forward on a failing issue, and yet the failing issue is sitting in your lap, and you know you're not going to be able to get it done, and you know he's not going to let go of it, what is your option? Either openly say, we refuse to pass this, or openly pretend you're trying to pass it so it can fail and you can get it out of the way, and then maybe you can go talk to the Biden administration and say, I told you that was going to happen, but you wouldn't listen. So how about you break this thing down into chunks and let's do something a little less aggressive and see what we can get passed before the midterms. I guarantee you that's what was going on. I guarantee you that Schumer was on the phone last night saying, Mr. President, I tried to explain to you why, Mr. President, no, sir, I'm in charge of the Senate. And the reality is we had to get this thing out of the way so we can move something forward because right now it's sucking all the air out of D.C. I guarantee you. That's just Phil feeling like he's – I've seen that in Montgomery when I was in the state Senate. I have seen that same type of thing where something was sucking all the air out of the room, and even though they didn't have the vote, somebody moved it forward just to be able to get it out of the way. You know, I've also seen it just quashed, and they could have done that, but that also sends a different statement. So, yeah, that's what happened. Democrats attempted to use what they call the nuclear option. They attempted to use a nuclear option to get around the filibuster, and it failed. The way that works, by the way, procedurally speaking, this is kind of artful. Literally what happens is, first of all, the bills came up, the two voting rights bills, and they failed miserably. Like, they failed on party line votes, but they had to have 60. The most they got was 50. 51, I think, with the vice president, if she had been able to vote. So the voting rights bills failed. Senator Schumer then goes to the podium, knowing the answer to this. He's required to go through certain processes. And he says, Madam President, to the vice president who's presiding, Madam President, I make an inquiry of the desk. And I may not be using the exact words, but this is roughly how they had to do it. I make an inquiry of the desk. What are the votes that are required to overcome the filibuster? So the official question has to be placed on the record, to which the official answer has to be given. Mr. Majority Leader, that is a vote of 60. To which then the response from Schumer is, to try and get around it, is, Madam President, with respect, I question the ruling of the chair. When he questions the ruling of the chair, he is allowed to then get a vote of the body to see whether or not they can override the ruling of the chair. Aha! So all these things have to be on the record. It's kind of like a contract. You have to have a contract written out and then signed to make it effective in court. Well, the same thing is true here. They had to go through the processes, get certain things on the record. It all failed. Every bit of it. Failure at every turn. Again, I believe that Schumer knew it was going to fail, and I believe Schumer needed it to fail just to get it out of the way so it would quit sucking the air out, so the press would quit, you know, riding it, so that the Biden administration would stop trying to push it so they could get something else done in D.C. That's how I anticipate this went down. All right, Kelsey, move us to a break, brother. We're gonna head out to a break, y'all. We're going to come back from that. I got some more on D.C. Watch, and then top of the hour, my friend Cameron Smith, who spent a lot of time in both D.C. and Montgomery, writes for AL.com. He'll give us his perspective on how the press conference went. I got on stuff on that here when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.